All right, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And Merry Christmas. Again, a quick transition from full bellies to welcoming the birth of our Savior. So the title of today's message is God Gives Blessing and Takes Away Disgrace. Thank you, Peter, for your wonderful passage reading for us today. Our key verse is verse 25, so let's recite that all together. Okay, ready? The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. So as we heard in our kids' space, the Advent season is a time of God's coming. It's a time to contemplate the mystery of God's coming into the broken and fallen world and making his home among us. Even more, Advent is a time to anticipate his coming again, right, in power and glory. Right, so that all sounds good if you're a theologian, right? Like Steve and I and some of us. More practically, this is a time where we want to worship and reorient our lives in these in-between times, these last days that we are living in day to day, day in and day out. So today, let's listen for how God seeks to renew us in these times and take away our disgrace and all the more bless us to serve him in the world around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless us to create some space in our hearts for greater faith to take root, to reorient the craziness and the noisiness and the busyness of our lives more directly and intentionally into your active plan and will for our lives and for our community and the world. Help us to receive your word today and prepare our hearts to experience you throughout this Advent season in our worship here on Sunday, in our worship in our day-to-day lives. I pray in Jesus' name. First, be faithful before God in career and community life, verses 5 through 10. So in this first section, we are introduced to an unlikely couple who becomes instrumental in the renewal of God's plan to bless and save the world. Their lives give us some clues in how we can live as God's longing and expectant people. So let's look at verses 5 through 7. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old, as our kids were able to tell us during Kids Space. Even though the couple had good reasons to actually be upset and angry and bitter about their life and how their life ultimately turned out, especially childless in that culture, they instead lived obedient and righteous lives in the sight of God. Zechariah's career as a priest had him embedded in the community. His everyday life was full of baby dedications and officiating funerals and settling family disputes and providing counsel to manage conflicts in the community. And he was inspecting households and the sick to declare them clean or unclean. And of course, facilitating sacrifices and praying and helping others to follow the scriptures. Wow. Together, Zechariah and Elizabeth blamelessly served in their priestly careers well into their old age, even without the definitive blessing of children. Look at verses 8 and 9. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So lots of context here. So for two one-week periods each year, one of the 24 priestly divisions that he was in, the division of Abijah, was honored to serve at the temple in Jerusalem. So that division would be called to serve for these 2 1-week periods every year, and there are 24 different divisions throughout the nation that would kind of rotate. This was likely the highlight of the year for these priests, to serve in Jerusalem at the temple. One of the highest honors of such service was being chosen by lot to go into the temple, into the temple holy place, to light incense during one of the 2 times set aside for daily prayer. This once-in-a-lifetime blessing for common priests came to who? Zechariah, allowing him the most intimate physical proximity to the presence of God in the most sacred place on earth, where everything was made of gold. Wow. Such an event was seen as God's approval and blessing on his faithful religious career. Verse 10 tells us, "And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside." The assembled worshipers surely had different careers, but were nonetheless essential to making this environment, both for Zechariah and for the people of Israel and throughout the nation, to experience God. Their faithfulness to their careers in farming and baking and blacksmithing and childcare and other careers was an integral part of them being worshipers and prayer servants for the Lord. Being part of a regular prayer and worship group increased the experience of God for everyone. So how can we take this home? God leads and allows us to pursue different careers. And most of us, maybe other than Steve, does not serve in any kind of religious career like a priest. However, the coming of Jesus as a human and his indwelling spirit in us as believers makes all our life is sacred. All our life is a spiritual act of worship. For about 8 hours a day and 40 hours a week, we are engaged in the workplace, almost a third of our life. We do our best in such instances to be people on mission, loving God and loving people. In some ways, as I thought about this, the priest had it much easier. Because why? Everything was laid out in detail for them in Scripture about how to do stuff blamelessly. But what does it mean for a nurse or a pharmacist to serve God in the sight of God blamelessly? What does that look like? How do we do that? Or what about for dry cleaning business owners or university faculty and researchers? Or refrigerant gas recyclers, finance managers, preschool and piano teachers, the list goes on. We have no detailed manuals for that. Sorry. We seize our career blessings as avenues to form Christ in us. They equip us to better listen and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, moment by moment, in all the career successes and disappointments we may face. We hang our hats together as marketplace people who are worshipers and prayer servants for the work of God throughout the world in our communities. Like Zechariah, we serve God and love our spouses more than the career acknowledgments we receive. God may help us to be faithful in our careers and community life worshiping God and staying close as we can to God's plan for our lives and even for our work and careers and community life. Amen? Second, listen for the good news to turn and renew your life. This section contains the fresh revelation and plan of God after about 400 years of relative silence in the intertestament period. God was now ready to reinitiate his direct and active involvement in the affairs of people. The long-awaited season for the good news of great joy for all the people was finally coming. Look at verses 11 through 17. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord, their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Amen, Abby. In this amazing prophecy and vision, we see this comprehensive nature of God's goodness and love. John, baby John, would be their joy and delight, much like baby Daniel is the joy and delight these days of Hannah and Dongjin and David. John would be destined for greatness in the sight of the Lord, and he would have a special devotion and a special anointing of the Holy Spirit even before he was born. His ministry would be a continuation of a long line of prophets. So even though he was coming from a priestly family, he would actually be a prophet in the line of prophets in the spirit and power of Elijah, as was foretold in the last kind of words of the Old Testament by the prophet Malachi. John the Baptist, as we know, as we read about in the Gospels, would bring back many to the Lord. He would turn hearts of the parents and children to each other and to God. Amazing ministry he had. The disobedient, lost, and wandering people of Israel and the world, including us, would eventually be turned and renewed by the wisdom of the righteous who live. How do they live? By faith. From first to last. This deeply personal blessing that this couple received was inextricably tied to the ways God sought to bless the wider world. How about us? Are we ready? Ready to experience such goodness and love? Ready to see how God wants to use our personal blessing to bless the wider world? How is God preparing us? Well, how about Zechariah? Was he ready? Kids would have said no. All right, let's look at verses 18 through 23. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." This good news. "And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service in Jerusalem was completed, he returned home. Understandably, if we really think about what he experienced, understandably, Zechariah was not quite ready to fully accept or believe the good news. We can imagine in his intellect, he uttered these prayers 1,000 times, but his heart was no longer warmed by their possibility. Since his life was mostly talking and human interaction, he needed a time of silence, a time of reflection, to really hear and accept and believe what God had already spoken into his life. God seeks to use our personal blessings to also bless the wider world. Even though our careers may be climbing toward its high point, we can find, maybe like Zechariah, that our spiritual life is in a gradual descent. How can we counteract the slow fade that inevitably comes to us all? Listen for the good news. Listen for the good news to turn and renew your life. Embrace times of silence and reflection to repent and newly receive what God has already spoken into your life through Jesus in his gospel. Anticipate the use of God's ongoing personal blessings for the greater good of our community and the world in need all around us and abroad. May God use our silence, our listening, and our prayers to turn and renew us this Advent season. Amen. Third, reflect on and celebrate what the Lord has done for you. So in this last part, the focus of the passage shifts to Elizabeth and her deep consideration of God and all that had transpired. Her words is what inspired and motivated me when I first started meditating on this passage to prepare the message. Let's look at our key verses 24 and 25. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me. The Lord has done this for me. Little old lady, forgotten, disgraced me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Elizabeth received Zechariah's silencing as her own as long as she could. After 5 months of reflection, she goes public with the good news. With a protruding abdomen region, she testifies to God, who is deeply concerned about her. The God and creator of the universe, galaxies beyond what we can imagine, Russell can attest to that, was concerned about Elizabeth. Her lifelong disgrace among the people for being childless was washed away as she experienced God's love face to face. In view of God's mercy, even at her old age, she was excited to embrace a new way of life, even at this stage in her journey. God invites all of us into such reflective consideration at various points. Recently, God has given me less to do and more time for silence, meditation, and contemplation, even though that may be hard to believe with 4 monsters, usually when they leave for school, and I'm still home. Instead of finding more work or somehow creating more work for myself, I'm trying, really trying, to pray and listen more. It's very hard. I am beginning to grasp all that the Lord has done for me. I'm not there yet. And all that the Lord has done for Susan in our careers, in our amazing kids, in our faithful church community. God continues to take away the disgrace of my sin and failures as a husband and a father and a pastoral leader. The good news of Jesus' death on the cross for my sins, his resurrection for my sake, and his outpouring of the Spirit on me continues to change me a little more most days. This passage is really causing me to think more about God's personal blessings and how to be ready and prepared to bless others through them. God may grant all of us such time to reflect and pray and listen during these quieter and oftentimes far more hectic winter season and holiday season. In conclusion, God may help us to be faithful in our careers and community life. As a community, we may make more room for others to have small and profound breakthrough experiences with God, like Zechariah and Elizabeth. In the past, this often came through dramas or dancing or singing teams or Bible conferences or world mission trips or teaching the Bible to others. We are not sure what the future holds, but let's be ready, let's be prepared, and let's be waiting for God's leading together. Let's be open for perhaps a fresh lesson of faith to avoid our slow motion spiritual fall. Listen for the God who has personal concern for you, and for you, and for you, and for you. Let's read our key verse once more. Okay? The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. Thank you for opening our Advent season with this beautiful narrative of Zechariah and Elizabeth. This story that invites us very personally and intimately into God's redemptive story in our own lives and the ways God seeks to bless and use our lives as a blessing to reach the world this Christmas season and throughout our lives. Lord, please grant us faithfulness in our careers and community life. Help us to listen and be willing to repent and turn and experience renewal through the good news God has for us this holiday season. Give us times for quietness and reflection amidst the noise and busyness of this season. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.